After we married, Dennis and I, we lived in a Fognak for a number of years. And then in 1960, we moved to Kodiak, and we've been here since. So we were in Kodiak during the tidal wave. Mm-hmm. Dennis was, of course, a fisherman all his life, ever since he could probably get on a boat and help out. Pre-teens, I think he started, you know, as many men did back mm-hmm. then. And after the kids went, you know, were in school, I started, you know, moseying out and did get a job. I worked at Crafts, and I worked at the mental health for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, though, I worked as a dormitory attendant.
I remember, yeah.
When they had the dormitory up here for kids up here, and that's where I got to meet a lot of the kids mm-hmm. from around the island. From up north in the chain, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. who I still see to this day. And that was a challenge in itself, dealing with the children away from their mm-hmm. homes, you know. But for the most part, they were good, mm-hmm. you know. They just needed to show that there was some there who cared for mm-hmm. what happened to them and everything else. And so it was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that.
Well, let me ask you, your earliest memories of the village that you grew up in, do you have specific things of Carlick that you remember?
Not so much that I remember, but what people talked about. Mm-hmm. I do know that Carlick had the large red salmon stream in the world, if I'm not mistaken, at that mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. It was well known. There was a lot of fish in that river, I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a lot of fish. That mm-hmm. place would just be boiling, like a boiling pot of water. From what I understand, they had a cannery mm-hmm. in Carlick. I could see the remnants of, you know, we all could see the remnants of on the spit there in Carlick. They had these fishing beach gangs, is what they referred to them, all along that coast, mm-hmm. you know, that coast. And that's when my dad was, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people came up to fish there, my dad for one. They had like, a number of them all along that, and they called them the beach gangs. Mm-hmm. Well, what I remember first before that, when the river was so full, what I've always heard is that they made one set in the river, and there was so much fish that they processed that fish all day long just from that one set.
So did you attend the local school there? Was it a BIA school?
It was a two-room school, I think from first grade up to about, I don't remember, six maybe. In one room, and one to four, I think, and then fifth to eighth. It was good, you know. We had our Christmas parties, mm-hmm. you know, like for Christmas back then. Very few people had Christmas trees or anything like that mm-hmm. in their homes. Mm-hmm. There was no Christmas trees, but we'd have one at school. What we did was they'd go out and get a bare tree. I mean, you know, wintertime, no leaves. And it would be an alder of some kind of, because mm-hmm. we didn't have no spruce trees or anything like that. What we did was took crepe paper. They had, you know, used a lot mm-hmm. of crepe paper back then. And we'd cover, we'd kind of cut them up and ruffle them up, you know, stretch mm-hmm. them which way to make them look roughly. And we'd wrap them around these tree branches with this green crepe paper. And then, you know, what little ornaments we made, you know, we made mm-hmm. the paper chain ornaments as well as popcorn and cranberries. We used to string the popcorn and cranberries on a string and wrap, you know, mm-hmm. drape it around like, you know, you do tinsel nowadays. And then other colored Christmas mm-hmm. or crepe paper mm-hmm. would make, you know, designs mm-hmm. and put them on the Christmas trees. And that was our Christmas tree. Village life, as I remember it, was very simple. Of course, in Carlick was, they always had that the fishing. It was basically, when I growing up there, it was basically very simple. We went to school as kids, came home, always did chores. We were taught that we had to show a lot of respect, and I don't think they even used the word respect. You never thought of talking back to your parents. Mm-hmm. You did what you were told.
Is there a message or some words that you would t- to talk about our youth today would want to say to them, what guidelines would you want to offer them?
I think I'd like to see our young kids getting involved in our culture. And I think that was one of the best things that I feel we could do, because we almost lost out on really knowing a lot of our ancestry and our culture and where we come from. And that was because, you know, the teachers, that's one of the things going to school, they prevented us from speaking the native Dialectic language. In fact, our parents were punished for it. And so because of that, a lot of people felt that it was not a good language. They felt that being a native was not a good thing, and they were looked down on. I think once the land claims happened in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act passed, I've always said before that if we never ever got anything out of the land claims, the one thing we did get out of them, what was more than anything very important, is that we became aware of who we are and to know what our culture is, to be aware of our culture and where we came from and our ancestry, you know, because you had to be at least 1/4 Native in order to be enrolled into the land claims. Mm-hmm. And so many people did, and from there they kind of, you know, began to research the background and became more aware of our culture and what it really is and how beautiful it is. That, I felt, helped us. And today, I would like to see our young kids really get to know who they are and where they come from, and to really capture how our ancestry lived, because their great values that they live by are something that carried them through hard and tough times, and it will do that to us to this day, you know. Respect, the trust, the sharing that we all shared in our day. Mm-hmm. I especially would like to see them get involved and know their culture. Because once you know who you are and where you come from, then you can freely go forward and do whatever you can, whatever you want to be.